Hi everyone, welcome back to Queer Coco. I'm Bele Vaimoso and I'm your host. So today's episode does feature the one and only Niwa Femalopo, who I just met on Instagram a couple of weeks ago through our last featured guest, Marcus. And I am so grateful that I met Marcus and Niwafe. For those who don't live as an LGBTQIA plus person, what you're about to hear could be a little bit shocking, but I think it's important to understand that this is a reality for some of us, and I applaud Niwafe for being so brave and courageous and just so honest and raw about his story. I know it'll help so many people, and I know it's helped me, because I too have my own experiences, and I'm just so proud of him. Culturally, there are a lot of things, well, most things are actually taboo in our culture, and I know for a fact that this episode in particular will be the catalyst to many conversations. And when I say it's not easy for some of my guests to share their story, I really mean it. There are still things about my own story that I haven't felt comfortable sharing, and I hope that I can one day. Another very important point that I would like to make before I play this episode for you is to not point fingers at anyone. There are things that we simply just can't control. And I think I speak on behalf of most Pacific Islanders when I say that even as kids, we always look for ways to help our parents, and Niwafe's story is no exception to that. So please listen with an open heart, and let's not judge anyone for their actions. What he went through could have happened to anyone. I would also like to say that if there's anything you want to talk about and it's not for the podcast, please send me a message. My DMs are always open, and not for just stupid things. If you want to talk to someone about something that you've heard on my podcast, or just anything you're going through, please reach out and I'll do the best that I can to listen. So you can do that on my Instagram, it is at queercoco, or you can send me an email, which is queercoco@gmail.com. I will leave everything anonymous unless you want me to share it, but just know that we're here. If there's one thing that I've learned from this episode, it's that you may not be the only one going through what you're going through. So without further delay, here's my conversation with Niwafe. Hi Pujas, welcome back to another episode. Today we have a very special guest that you may know from his world famous baking, and that is none other than Niwafe Malupo. How are you today?
I'm good, thank you.
So are you able to tell us a bit about you? Like, I'm pretty sure everyone listening knows who you are, but...
Oh yes. So I am 26 years old. I'm originally from Auckland, New Zealand. I was born and raised in Auckland Central in Round Greyland area. And I'm Tongan. Got a bit of Samoan in me as well, and a bit of Fijian, but mostly
Tongan.
Don't we
all? No.
And a bit of Puerto Rican and Brazilian. And I'm a cake maker, baker, whatever you want to call me.
Yeah.
And I really, really love what I do.
Yeah. I've been like screenshotting your recipes that you've been putting up so that I can do it after my 30-day diet's up.
No, they've actually gone off the tutorials. Like everyone keeps. I'm actually quite happy everyone's like doing it.
Yeah.
Just with this whole self isolation thing. Everyone's kind of forced to pick up on their hobbies and start baking again, which is nice.
Like, toilet paper's okay now. It's the baking stuff that's gone.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, so I always say this, but I ask everyone this. Mm. When did you know that you weren't cishet?
I think as young as probably, I would say about maybe 4 or 5. And I remember it was... Selena, you know the movie Selena?
Yeah.
When I came out, I remember like I was such a massive fangirl, and I remember like putting on like a tea towel on my head and like pulling the whisk out and like singing Diddy Diddy Bum Bum. And it was funny because like I think that was like the first moment I realized that I wasn't that I wasn't like all the other boys, like my brothers, my older brothers.
Yeah.
And it was a bit more feminine, and it was weird because my family kind of embraced it. And I remember like my mom even like getting me to come out when we have family barbecues and like throwing me in front of like the middle of everyone and
wow.
like bitty bitty bum bum and then I'd be dancing and then getting money, and then they'll take me to the room and take the money off me and they're like, hey, can I go now? like a little like bloody monkey. So it was I think I always knew I was a little bit different, like as young as that.
Yeah. Are you able to talk about your coming out and how that happened?
Ooh, so coming out, hard. I'm trying to think when. Yeah, there's a bit of a story with when I came out. So I became really sexually active when I was about 14.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I remember going on NZ Dating. I don't know if you heard of that. Do you remember that website?
No, but yeah, it was a different one, but yeah.
same. Yeah. And going on chat lines, I was such a little shit,
yeah.
Man. I remember just being really rebellious because I was in denial as well. It was in my head that my parents weren't going to accept me. So I kind of rebelled and I would meet up with all these different guys. But then that led on to what happened. So mom, I was really protective with my little Nokia phone, and I remember I was texting this one guy and I left my phone on the couch by accident, and I went to the bathroom and my mom grabbed the phone, and then she read the most latest text that came through, and it was from the guy, and he said it will never work out because I'm 28 and you're only 14. And my mom freaked. And I came back from the bathroom, walked in, and she was like, who's this? Who are you talking to? And she was kind of teary-eyed, and I kind of just snatched the phone off her and ran off to school. And then later on, I came back home and my two older brothers were home. And I walked in and they were like, who are you talking to? Blah, blah, blah. No. And we just got led to one thing to another, and then they attacked me and I got a really big hiding from them. And I remember just being on the floor and screaming I do this because I know you guys won't love me, blah, blah, blah. And then they're like, what are you talking about? And I was like, you guys won't love me because I'm gay. And that's how I came out. And they just turned around. They're like, we don't give a shit if you're gay. We always knew you were gay. The fact that you're going out and meeting up with older men, which is a problem. And then, yeah, so that was my coming out story. And that kind of changed. I think I still was sexually active after that still, just with a lot of pressures at home and what my family was going through.
Mm.
But that was my coming out story. Sorry.
Yeah.
Kind of rambled on.
No, that was in our message exchange, you mentioned that you have two brothers that are also gay.
Yes.
What was that like? Was it a conversation growing up, or was that later on in life that you guys
I don't think it was a conversation growing up. I think honestly, it's hard because my mom thinks it's because my dad, they don't really have a father figure during their time. And my mom was pretty much in and out of hospital because she had kidney disease, and she kept going for dialysis and all that stuff. And it was legit, I had to step up and fill my mom's shoes. And I think those two kind of just, I would say probably heavily influenced by me and everything I was doing. I used to have the chore chart ready, I was that kind of bloody gay brother, man. I had everything, gold star chart.
Yeah.
And I think, and I remember even where my dad wasn't home, I'll like grab the bed sheet and like wear it as a veil, and then I'll get those two to hold each corner and I'll walk down the hallway. Like,
just, oh my gosh, I love it.
Just doing a lot of gay shit like that. And then they're like, dad's here, I'm like, oh, run and jump out of like, you know, jump back into the bed. I was like, oh my gosh. But like, I think they were really probably heavily influenced by me. But then later on, I think later in their teens, and then I kind of asked them, I was like, hey, you guys like gay? And the one after me, Joseph, he said he was, but then the one after him, Emilio, he was a bit like, no, I'm not. I'm like, okay, that's all right, Emilio, when you're ready, blah, blah, blah. But then eventually Emilio was like, told me that he's gay.
Mm-hmm.
He just felt uncomfortable saying, like, admitting it because of how, like, he just didn't want to, like, disappoint our family because there's three of us.
Yeah.
But it's been such a journey, but a huge blessing, and it's so funny and entertaining, like just our dynamic at home and all the shade throw in. My mom lives for it.
Growing up in, was it Greyland that you said?
Yes. So we grew up in Herne Bay, like, which was, I think, a bit closer to like Ponsonby.
Oh wow!
But it's all in the same area. Yeah.
Yeah. Was there a big Tongan community there?
I think back in the day, there definitely was, because my grandma, she came in the 60s, and then she married, and then her and my grandpa, they started bringing a lot of Tongans from Tonga, their family and stuff, and I think that's how the community grew, and I think a lot of other Tongans were doing that too, and then that's when the whole Dawn Raid period happened.
Yeah.
You know about that, Yeah. All of that happened, and they're all a part of it, like, which is crazy. But there was a bit of Tongans back in Pasifis, but it's weird going back now and like seeing how white it is. I can't even deal with like my grandma's house. Yeah, like my grandma's house, like we had the picket fence, but it was like missing, like, you know, the pickets, like, and it had like, you know, the paint was like, oh my god, like really bad. But like driving past the house is like white, it's got like beautiful rose garden. It's really like, oh, I can't get over it.
Yeah,
it's so different from what it
gentrification is real.
yes. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
What was it like in your community? Like being you, was it difficult? Did you go to church, and was that like an experience for you?
Definitely, like the whole church thing, because we were brought up Catholic, and then we converted to the Church of Latter-day Saints, the Mormon church, and I think the only like difficult time I've ever had was probably going to that church, and like I remember the whole same-sex marriage was gonna be legalized in NZ at the time, and I remember they had a conference, and I went, and it was just the young adults there, the YSA, the young single adults, and I remember just sitting in the crowd, and then the guy that went out, I think he wasn't a bishop, but he was like something up there, and he just like preached about how wrong gay marriage is, and like that we don't support it. And everything, and I remember like feeling so like sick in my stomach, because I've always been quite open, like just myself and gay, whatever. And I think everyone, I could feel everyone just like looking at me like, like awkward. But it was weird because he ended up giving flyers out to everyone, like telling us not to vote, blah blah. Make sure we vote against it. And I was shocked at how many people left the flyers, like they didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
That was like quite empowering. I was like, shame, loser, like, but that's the only time I've ever felt really uncomfortable. And also probably playing rugby. Oh my god, I used to be a rugby player back in, like, you know, in primary and intermediate and high school, and I remember just feeling so, I think in high school especially, I just felt like disgusting and really uncomfortable being around guys, especially in the locker rooms. Oh my god, I would always have my towel up, you know, covering my breasts, like looking around, like
I used to look for excuses not to do PE and stuff, like when I went to an all-boys school, just because it's so awkward, like you feel like a girl, like in the locker room,
maybe my I know, I feel like I'm the only, that's so true, I can really relate to that.
And you feel like because you're attracted to guys, you also have this like internal thing going like, don't look, like even though you want to look, don't look, don't look.
Oh my God. There was this one time, so I used to work, my dad made us work at his workplace in Otahu, was the Meatworks. I don't know if you, do you know that place? And it really smelled. The, it's like the Auckland Meatworks. Oh my God. Well, I worked there and oh my God, like bloody nightmare. It was just fobs and like islanders and it was like hard labor. And I remember like sorting out like the guts and offal, you know? And I remember like going into the lockers after, oh my God, that was like a nightmare because I wanted to have a shower.
Yeah.
But the, all the cubicles are open, but I was so desperate to have a shower because it stunk. And like me, I'll go and hang my towel up and then like have a shower. But then I'll be like secretly like peeking through the slit to see like the other naked guys.
Yeah.
It was so bad. Oh my God. And then just walking out with my towel wrapped around my like dress and then while everyone's butt naked. It was so funny. Why didn't you? Oh my God.
Did anything happen?
No comment. No, I'm just kidding. No, no, no. I think one time this guy, oh my gosh, he pissed me off. He came right up to me and like slapped my ass in front of everyone. And then I turned around to him and I was like, fuck off. Like, don't touch me. And then he came back and slapped my ass again. And I was, and then everyone was just like, you know how islanders are. They're like, oh, what are you gonna do? What are you gonna do? And I turned around and I grabbed him by the collar and I was like, if you fucking touch me again, I'm gonna fucking give you a hiding. And then he just playing around. He's like, ha ha ha. Like, and he came and grabbed my ass again. And I was like, trying not to cry because I felt so humiliated. And then luckily I was friends with all the, so all the supervisors, they're all women.
Yeah.
And that's who I used to sit with. And oh my God, I went and I fucking like knocked on him to one of the, to our supervisor and she gave him a warning and like he was, and he never bothered me since. So I was like, oh my God, get lost, loser.
What's been the most challenging situation you've been in as a gay person?
I think one of, like for me personally, one of the most challenging things of being gay was like trying to, like that process of trying to like figure that out for myself. Like I felt, so when I was, I think 4 or 5, I was sexually abused by 2 of my cousins at different times. And that happened for, I think, a period of a year or two. I don't really remember. But I remember, like, the details graphically. I remember what happened and what they did. But I think, especially in my, I think I was 12, I, like, started to realize, like, oh, God, like, I think I am gay. And I try to, like, hide it. And I, like, try to, like, date girls, but it just didn't feel natural. And then I started thinking, oh, maybe I'm gay because, maybe I'm gay because my cousins like had sex with me. I thought that had to do with it. And I kept like, I kind of ran with that like as an excuse. And then when my mom found out about it, and then I was telling her like, okay, that's why I'm gay. Mom's like, no, that's not why you're gay. She's like, Junior, they targeted you because they knew you were feminine. My mom's like, you're always very feminine, like, you know, dancing around with a tea towel on your head and the whisk in your hand. Like, she said, that's why they targeted you. She's like, that had nothing to do with that. And I was like, okay. So I think that was the biggest challenge. And that was for a long period of my life, like trying to, you know, decipher the code of like who I am as a person. And after that all came out, I feel like I had nothing to hide anymore. Like there was no holding back, and like I didn't, like I really, I live by this. I like believe nothing, I don't give a shit about anyone else thinks besides my mother. Like no one's opinion matters to me, because that's all I ever wanted was like my mom's, oh can you hear that, sorry, that's all I ever wanted was like my mom's acceptance. And she's always been like very 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 accepting from the beginning.
I'm
so grateful for that, because I know so many, even like PI, like so many of our brothers and sisters, they don't have that support system from, you know, so like either one of their parents. So I'm kind of grateful I have that with my mom.
How did you work through that? Did you talk to them, the cousins that did that to you, or did you just move on?
Oh my gosh, I remember when I started high school, and especially when I got really sexually active, I started seeing a counselor because I was like getting, I don't know, I was getting nervous. I had a really bad experience. I won't go into that yet. But anyway, so yeah, I think I opened up to the counselor, and he was the first person I ever called. And I told him about the experiences and stuff with my cousins. And he was just reassuring me that it wasn't my fault, blah, blah, blah. And I think when my mom had found out, when he told my mom, and she also, what did she say? She said to me, because I was so scared. I remember the drive home, and me and the counselor, he wanted me to go get a health checkup because of how I was really sexually active. He's like, you need to go get one. So me and him went to the doctor's, and we parked across the road. And then I remember we were crossing, and my mom was giving way. And this is during school hours, and I freaked. I was like, oh my God, like, she obviously, something's wrong. And then I ran into the doctor's, had the appointment. Well, the counselor told her what happened. And then after my appointment, and I did the blood works and all that, and then we went back home, and she didn't talk to me in the car, and I was just like really scared. And then once we got in the house, she took me downstairs, and she's just like, oh, Junior, like, what happened? Do you need to tell me something? And I was like crying, and I was like, oh, you don't worry, you won't believe me. And she's like, no, just tell me. I want to hear from your mouth. And I told her, I was like, oh, mom, I was raped by, you know, my cousin and the other cousin. And then I was just in tears. And then she's like, Junior, I believe you. And I was like, you do? And then she's like, yeah, because it, so my mom was saying to me that, like, she had been raped as well when she was a girl, but her, oh, it's gonna make me sad talking about it. Yeah. But her family kind of just buried it, and like, you know, they just didn't want to hear about it, and instead sent her off to Tonga. So she said she knew exactly how I felt, and that she'll never not believe me. Like, she knew exactly, and I think that just that in itself just started my healing process. And I remember she was saying to me, like, it wasn't their fault, because even though they did it, she said that it might have been something that happened to them too. Like, that's all they know, blah, blah, blah. Both of them tried to deny it, and then they accepted it, and then they tried to apologize to me. But I don't know, I just don't want to look, because it was hard, because we had, like, throughout my whole childhood, I had to still grow up with them. I just had to see them and pretend nothing happened. You know what I mean? Like, it was so frustrating. But, and like, them, especially being older, like an older teenager, and like turning up to like funerals, and then they're like, oh, hey, cousin. Like they had forgotten what they had done. Yeah, it was frustrating. But I kind of like, I think over time I forgave them.
Yeah.
I forgave them. And it gave me like even more healing. And I wouldn't take any of that back. Like, I don't regret that it happened. Definitely don't regret it, because I think it's always kept me really grounded from day dot. Yeah. And it kind of obviously makes me who I am right now.
Yeah. I'm so sorry you went through that.
Oh my gosh. Nice dress. I'm sure there's so many others
that
went through it as well.
And it's really common to happen in Ireland. Yeah. Just I always think it's because of religion and stuff. So like, just told to that being gay is wrong, and like, so people are not honest about who they are.
Yeah.
So they're out here in the dark doing these things to innocent
their own families.
Yeah.
So true. Oh. It is a sick. It's a sick cycle, and I think if our community don't like speak up on it and just pull it out for what it is, like, it just create awareness, it's gonna just keep repeating itself.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And I think with the like the newer generation, like with us, I think we're breaking the cycle, and I think our parents are listening to us now, just because, as you said, your mom went through it as well, and she no one believed her. So we have to switch gears now. Like I want to ask you about dating. Like, is it? So you mentioned that you were really sexually active quite young after those experiences. What's it been like post coming out?
I think I was still sexually active. I still remember because we're going through a lot at home, and not that that was an excuse. Like my dad wasn't around in that, so I kind of just rebelled, and I remember like hooking up with guys, and then I don't even know how to say this part, it's so it's pretty personal. So around about 15, I think my dad, he got heavily involved with drugs, and he kind of just left us. But it was probably 5 years before that it like started then, and it just got worse. And I think with my dad, because my mom had to stop working because of her sickness, and I think he felt the pressure of like having to work and bring in the money. So he then turned to his family and was like, his nephews, my cousins, were like, oh, you can like sell drugs and make fast money. Dad like started selling drugs, and then he ended up smoking it and became a really heavy addict. And he kind of just left us. He would come and go, like he would come for like a week and then leave for a month. We wouldn't hear from him. And I remember during that time we were struggling so bad, and I remember, like, because I was so sexually active, I remember charging people for money for sex. And that's how I kind of got involved in sex work. And I don't do many hookups, but I did probably about 10 maybe or less. And I remember hooking up with these old fucking white men. For money, and like bringing it home and like giving it to mom and just making up a story that I found a wallet on the floor. And I think my mom, she didn't want to question it because she was desperate. Like, you know, she was on survival mode as well. So we kind of just rolled with it. And I actually brought it up to her recently about that whole thing. I was like, mom, do you remember I used to give you money? And she's like, yes. And then I told her, I was like, is this because I was like hooking up with these men for money? And she just cried, and she was just saying sorry for like, you know, how things turned out. And I was like, mom, I don't regret it. Like, I really don't. Like, I'm happy I experienced that. But it was actually really traumatizing. Very traumatizing. I had a really bad experience too.
Is that what led to you telling your counselor?
That also, that part of the reason why I told my counselor.
Wow.
She's had a messy life, but she's okay now.
I think that's really relatable too. I know a lot of my queer friends had to have engaged in sex work, and I don't think there's anything wrong with it. Like, I think I read something on Twitter, like people saying, "Oh, there's like you guys are prostitutes, blah blah blah," but they're watching porn, like,
of course,
like,
and paying for it too.
Come on, premium.
I think Pornhub went premium for free. I think when this whole COVID-19 happened.
Oh, did it?
Yes, I can see it in your eyes, girl. You're like, I already subscribed. I just got that.
Oh, gosh, I missed out.
No, you did. I'm dying.
Yeah, I just hate the stigma attached to sex work, because sometimes you got to do what you got to do, and
you do.
My gosh, you've lived a colorful life.
Oh my god, yes, she has. But I think like hooking up now, it's been a more harder for me. I don't know. I just, because I went through that phase of like being a slut, like, you know, now it's more like I want something serious, but I don't feel like I'm ready for that. And like, I haven't hooked up in like maybe going on to nearly a year now. It was the last time I like hooked up. But yeah, it's weird. It's just a different, I'm in a different mindset now. And I kind of know my worth. I know my worth. And like, I think that's the difference from 15-year-old me and like me now. I know my worth.
Yeah.
And yeah, and I know what I want to.
Yeah. And I think when you're younger too, you're just like, well, I'm hot shit right now. Like,
yeah. Oh my God, dude. Yes, yes, yes. Oh my gosh.
I have some stories too, but I'll leave that for another time.
Share.
Are you on, like, when you do decide to like hook up and stuff, are you on the apps, and which apps are you on?
I'm on Grindr. I go on Grindr like looking for something, but never like hooking up. I don't know, I'm just wasting my time. I know, it's just so stupid. I just jump on to see like if someone's messaging me.
Yeah.
And yeah, thank you, next. Everyone's like dogs on there. And Tinder. I use Tinder a lot. I've been traveling around the world since the self-isolation, and been going to Brazil and all around America.
Oh yeah, I heard about that passport thing on Tinder.
Oh honey, you already had it. Stop lying.
I hate Tinder. It never works out for me.
Oh my gosh, it's so funny. Just like traveling to like, you know, New York and like matching with all these different like guys. I'm like, oh, it's so nice. But right now I'm in, where am I? I'm in Milan in Italy right now. Swiping away there. It's funny. It's so much fun.
My favorite thing to do on Grindr is when I'm in like an area that I know there's heaps of fobs, like I always open it there just to see like who's on there.
And yes.
Like, I was talking to Chris, who was on like a few episodes ago, Soy Boy. And we were talking about how there's always blank profiles when you're in like the hood and stuff.
Yeah. All the undercover ones. Yeah.
Oh wait, what did he call them? He called them lucky dips.
That's the best thing
I've ever heard. You've got a huge following on Instagram. Do people slide in your DM?
Actually not. I wish, but the majority of my followers are bloody moms and they're a woman. They want to beg. And oh my God, like, I think I checked recently and like it said 11% of my followers are men and the rest are women. But I was like, oh my God, like I hardly ever see these guys. Like, who are they? Like,
yeah.
But I never get the DMs. I wish I did.
Yeah.
I think I need to post more like raunchy content. Like, just scare all the moms off. Just scare all the moms off.
Are they eggplant cupcakes?
I'm dead.
What's the community down there like in Melbourne for the rainbow community? What's it been like for
you? Wow, it's been amazing. There's parts of it that are good, but like the islanders here have been very, I feel like because we're such a minority in Melbourne, like oh my God, you know, you hardly see them, and when you see them out, it's like you just gravitate to them. You're like, hey guys, like we're family, a little family reunion. So yeah, I think a lot of like islanders are there, yeah, and the gay community, they're awesome. And like we did the Midsummer March on, when was it? End of Jan, I think. And that was just so liberating, like walking through and just being PI, you know? It was just amazing. And like representing like our different, you know, I was representing Tonga, like heaps of them were from Cook Island.
Yeah.
It was just so nice to be representatives of our culture and our island.
Yeah.
And walking through a place that was like predominantly Balangi, and like just working it and not caring what anyone else thought. Like, so I love that side of the gay scene here in Melbourne. And then there's also the scene where like we go into clubs and I feel like people don't know, they don't know how to like talk to us.
with that bit, like, marveled when he walked in, like, they're like, oh my God, what are you doing here? Like, oh my God. And I think also because I'm quite, I'm naturally quite, like, broad with the gayest voice ever, but I'm quite, like, I come off quite manly, and I think a lot of them kind of get a bit, like, intimidated, but I'm like, oh my God, I'm, like, one of your sisters.
Yeah.
I just want you to just say hi to me, I'll say hi back. But a lot of the times that we go out, a lot of people don't really, well, don't really talk to me, especially. They think that I have this, like, stank face, but that's just my natural face.
This is
my natural face. Yeah, I know, oh my God, this is my tongue and face, okay? Oh my God. I remember this one, oh my God, better, this one chick came up to me, and she's like, are you all right? And I was like, yeah, I'm all right. Are you all right? And she's like, yeah, because your face, like, you just look really angry. And I was like, oh, this is how I look. And she's like, yeah, but you look angry. I was like, oh my God, bitch. I was like, now I'm going to get angry.
Well, now I'm angry.
You're fucking bitch. Oh my God. Like, the nerve of her. But I don't know. And, like, just, yeah, that's just that part of the gay scene is a bit weird. Like, how, I don't know, they don't. People, I think there's just so much segregation within the LGBTQIA community. And, which is kind of ironic because there's, you know, we're supposed to be all two together and that. But there's so much segregation. When you go into the club, you see it. Like, people stick to their own cliques. And then you have us Islanders. Obviously, we gravitate to each other because of, because we feel more comfortable.
Yeah.
And then we do, like, there's been a few times where we've actually talked to other people of different, you know, color. And then they'll open up. And then it's like a really good friendship. And
yeah,
I think we just need to, like, I don't know, break
it. So it's the smoking area.
Oh honey, the smoking area is where I'm always there. Oh my God, like, smoking away, talking to everyone. Oh my God, what makes
sense? Can I pretend I smoke at the club?
Oh really?
I smoke.
Oh my God.
No, sitting there bum puffing, like.
Oh my God. Yeah, it's so good. I love the smoking area. Especially the club that we go to, it's called Peel. If you come, we're gonna take you there.
Oh, I'd
You'll
love it.
You'll love it then.
My experience with gay clubs since you asked is it's always like there's always two different reactions, like, because I go with, like, my cousins and stuff, it's like what you said, like, people just like, well, like, can't talk to them. And or the other side is when they're really like, wow, you're Islander, and like like fetishizing you in a way, like, and they almost don't see you as a person sometimes. Like, I've had guys just like grope me out of nowhere, like, just these like other cis, like, I'm just like, can you not see my wrist is out, like.
Oh my God.
Like, I just, and like one time someone like just grabbed me in like the front, my frontal area.
Oh, and, my God.
And I just squealed, and I was just like, because I'm like, I'm pretty chill, but like, I just squealed like a fucking
bear. I would too. Oh my, that's like, oh my God. Punched.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. And it was just like a little white kid, and I was just like, really?
Oh my God. Oh my God.
I hate that side of it. What are some misconceptions about being gay that just really irk you?
I think we can all relate to this one, and there's like memes about it, is when straight guys think, like, you know, if you talk to them, that, you know, that you're hating on them and that you like them. And oh my God,
yeah,
like, that used to happen to me a lot, especially like in the rugby team. If I like talk to someone, they'll be like, oh Junior likes you, and they all kind of take it on. Hated it. I fucking hate it, because one, most of them are the ugly ones that think that.
Yeah.
The ugly straight guys who think they have a chance. Oh my God.
The girls don't even like you, so.
Yeah. What makes you think we're gonna like you? Like,
Like, I always say this. I'm like, we have standards too. Like.
I know. And they honestly think that we don't. It's frustrating.
Yeah, it's the worst.
Oh, this is probably, I don't know if you're gonna, you can take this out if you want. But another misconception for me is like being like, I think a lot of guys think I'm like this top
But Swiss is like a bottom, like to the core. I always have been.
I don't know what it is about this podcast, but I've only had bottoms on.
Oh my god, I'm like dead. Yeah. No, and it's so annoying because I get like all the twinks, you know, like all the little ones wanting to come up to me, but I don't want you. I want like your older brother. I want someone massive. I want someone to like to throw me against the wall, you know? But no, yeah. Oh my god, no. I think that's annoying. That's so annoying to me.
Yeah.
They always assume that I'm like this top or I'm like looking for, you know, this twink, but I'm not.
Yeah. Yeah, I hate that. Like, if you see me out in public, like, you'll never think that I'm a top, but, like,
yeah,
I think on Grindr a couple of times, my photo is just, like, I forgot what my photo was, but, recently my photo was with me with a red bandana on, and, like, that's when I got the most, like, questions about, like, are you a top, and I'm just, like, because I don't think I put it in my profile, but, like, I'm just, like, no, I'm not, like,
oh, so I like, that's like my first thing. I am a bottom. Like, message me. Like, I'm not gonna be a top for you. Like, oh my god, I have to break it down because these guys are so dumb. They just, oh, and they still piss to you.
Like, I just always, whenever I talk about this, I always picture like two bottoms. Like,
thumbing each other,
running up to each other backwards.
Oh my god! Like, could you? I don't know. Could you ever have a like a sexual relationship with a bottom?
For me,
if they had a really good personality and everything.
Yeah. So for me, I don't really like do or enjoy anal. So I could, but they have to be like, and I hate this about myself, but they have to be really mask, like, because I can do everything else, but like doing anal, like, I don't know, it's just not my fun thing.
Yeah, so you need a bit more training.
Yeah, I feel like that's it, like, just because I've been like, I think in like the sexual experiences that I've had, I've been really spoiled, and like the guys that I've been with which have been mostly white, they're really like givers.
and
I pretty much like starfish, like.
Yeah, oh honey, I love that too, just lying on the bed doing nothing.
Yeah, like,
oh, I remember, oh god, I remember this one time, like, grabbing, I was so tired, but I like grabbed the pillow and like tucked it under my stomach, like, could it be bothered like arching my back? And I just lie on the pillow like that, like, just so like lazy, and like letting him do all the work. I was like,
how about it?
So lazy.
Yeah, I think that's,
oh my god. Fucking dead, tucking the pillow under, oh my god.
And you're just like sleep.
Yeah, just having a nap. Oh my god, fucking dead. Yeah.
Wow, twins. Yeah, and even like when you get older, you're just like I'm turning 30 this year, and I'm just like,
are you 30 this year?
Yeah, I turned 30 in September.
Oh my god, I thought you were like 22.
No, girl. I'm older than god, everyone that I've had on this freaking show.
Oh my god, that's crazy.
So we're around about the same age. You're just like 2 years.
Yeah. 4 years, girl. Get it right.
Oh, 4 years. Sorry. Yeah. Like, I just, the older I get, I'm just like, I'm really, sex is like, yeah, it's secondary, which is pretty sad. But I think because you, as you said before, you kind of went, you've done it all, like, when you were younger. So I always agree with people saying, like, you should get it out of your system now. Like,
yeah. Amen to that.
Yeah. Because the people who don't, they, like, they're the ones that struggle later in life.
Oh, gosh.
Because they don't know what they like.
That's so true. I bet I'll end up like that. Yeah. you do a follow up 10 years and I'm still in the same spot. Still single.
That'll be
me. Oh my god. Oh my god.
What advice would you give 13-year-old Junior?
Oh my god, that's a really good question.
I stole
it. That's a poor question. That's a really good one. That life is going to get a bit hard. And that what happened when you were a kid was never your fault.
Mm.
And you were not, it was out of your control. And maybe just warn 13-year-old Junior about the whole sex work thing, because that was really traumatizing for me.
Yeah.
I probably warn him not to do it. And that there are other ways. Like, I think with me, I always kind of felt like a responsibility, like, to help mm-hmm. as much as I could, yeah. even if it was through that. But there are other ways of doing it. Like,
mm-hmm.
we could have been doing bake sales, like, back yeah. then, because I was baking really young. Yeah. Could have done bake sales. Maybe I'll tell him that. Like, start baking, doing bake sales at 15.
Yeah.
Money for your mom.
Yeah.
And that could have been something for me and her. Yeah.
Wow. On that note, though, like, what's next for Niwafe, like, your baking and stuff?
Oh my gosh. First of all, I'm trying to, like, because I've been in Melbourne for about a year. It's going on to 2 years now, and I've been living with family. Like, right now, I'm really trying to save to get my own place.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully bring my little brother over, Emilio, because Emilio used to work at New Cakery with me.
Yeah.
So I want him to come so he can start a new leaf here, and we could do the cakes together on the side.
Yeah.
I think that's what's next for me, and obviously, hopefully, and maybe by the time I'm 30, I'm ready to reopen and like have a cake shop, slash cafe. Yeah.
So where can we find you on social media? I know everyone already knows, but like, for now.
You can find me on Instagram. That's probably the best way to find me, because I don't really go on Facebook. I know, it's because of my mom and my auntie. They're like posting up GIFs nonstop. Like, oh my god, sharing all this bloody, like, sharing people even tease. I was like, oh my god, like, so I never go on Facebook, so definitely Instagram. I'm on Instagram at Niuafe. That's N-I-U-A-F-E. Just click me a message through there. And I'll try and get back to you, because there's so many cake inquiries that I get through Instagram.
And if you're listening, he does respond to eggplants.
Dead. Yeah, you'll catch my attention. I will know. That can be the code.
Well, I wanted to say a big thank you to you for coming on. I was like so shocked that you wanted to come on. So I just like, it's a huge deal for me to have you on, and all my guests. Like, I'm so honored that people trust me with their stories. And best of luck to you. Thank you.
No, thank you. Thank you. And keep it up. Like, I love this platform that, you know, you're doing and that you have to, like, share everyone's stories. I love it.
Thanks, sis.